Yeah, it's an interesting start. It's not, I think, what any of us kind of foresaw happening. They got some issues. I think they're going to be okay on defense, but Carson is the big issue. He's never been through anything like this, and his problems are multifaceted, which makes it a more challenging fix. It's not just one thing. He's making bad decisions. He's inaccurate. He's not moving well. So this team goes as Carson goes, and they can't be a great team unless he's great. They're not built that way. They don't have a lot of, superstars. So it's a concern. I think one thing about the Doug Peterson era, the 5 years, the four plus years he's been here, is that they've laughed at adversity every time, whether it's injuries in the Super Bowl season, losing Carson that year, or the injuries the last couple of years, a five-game losing streak 1 year, that they've always kind of come out the other side. And I think that's what Doug is best at, is kind of, navigating the team through those challenges. And this one's as big as any of them, because right now they're just not a good team.
And part of that is with injuries, in part. Their offensive line has been a jumbled mess. What has that done to Carson Wentz's decision-making? Does he have to make quicker decisions because that line is so leaky?
No, I thought the line played really well on Sunday in the Rams game. That wasn't the problem. And even in the first game, in the Washington game, gave up 8 sacks, but I would say, gosh, 3 and maybe 4 of them were just Carson holding the ball too long. So they have had a ton of injuries on the O-line. But Lane came back last week, and the backup guards have played well. So I don't think it's that. I think he's just, for whatever reason, he's just not comfortable. He can't get into a rhythm, and he's making bad decisions, which is something he's never done. So I don't know what's going on with him. I don't think anybody does. I think, obviously, if there are issues, and I think the first game, nothing was really going well. They didn't run the ball. They didn't have Miles. Couldn't run the ball well. So nothing was really working around him. They dropped passes, but in this game, in the Rams game, everything else was in place. They ran the ball well. They protected well. There weren't any drops. It was just him. So, There's no excuses. I don't think the O-line is the reason he isn't playing well. I think he's the reason he's not playing well.
Nobody played any preseason games. And, you don't play much, but you get a couple of series in one game. You get a half in another game. And I'm not talking about Carson here. I'm talking about in general. What have you thought about the level of play from what you've seen in the league so far, Ruben? Because they've had to play it like college, where you just start. Mm-hmm.
I've been surprised how high the level of football is, honestly, and I've been really surprised. I think I haven't seen the wholesale pre-snap penalties I expected, drops, fumbles. I mean, it looks like football. Gosh, when you can watch a Browns Bengals game and be entertained, that game was like, I'm sitting there thinking, man, this is football. This doesn't look any different to me. And, Doug Peterson used that as an excuse for Carson's play. And, it's like, wait a minute, nobody else had preseason games or OTAs.
Right.
So you can't use that as an excuse. Mm-hmm. So I've been really pleasantly surprised. And I think the level, maybe it's going to make people rethink the whole offseason, all the OTAs and mini camps, and certainly 4 preseason games is the dumbest thing in sports. They used to play 7. They used to play back in the 50s and 60s. They played 7 preseason games. And then 14 regular season games or 12. But, I think, 2 preseason games, even 1 is plenty. Get some, joint practices with somebody and go play football. So cut down on injuries, too. But, that's the one difference, I guess, has been the injuries. Have been really, really alarming. And I think a lot of that probably has to do with conditioning and the lack of, supervised conditioning over the offseason. It's been really sad to see. You see Saquon go down, and, some of these guys who are just the best players in the league, Bosa, and it's been a shame. But as far as the level of play, I've been surprised.
Yeah, no, I have too, Ruben. I think they've actually come out of the gate. And, I think you made a really great point. relatively few penalties. Now, that's the part of the game. Fans do not enjoy the number of whistles in a game at all. It just stops the game. And I'll give you a good example. Browns-Bengals game. It is obvious that Greenum, with the first Bengals series, is out of bounds. And then after about 45 seconds, they announce, we're going to take a look at it. We already know he's out of bounds. Let's go. Move it. Make it move.
Well, last night, I mean, that ridiculous ejection, because the guy was moving, the ref's arm is like in his helmet.
Yes.
And he just like,
yes,
you know, moves his arm away. He doesn't know who it is. He doesn't know the guy from the other team or a teammate. He just moves the guy's arm and they kick him out of the game. Are you kidding me? Yeah, these.
Even Mike Pereira said something about that.
Yeah. The best sporting event I ever saw was a Baltimore Skipjacks AHL game at the old Baltimore Civic Center. I forget who they were playing, but there was it was a great hockey game, and there wasn't one penalty called. I was like, this has got to be the first time in the history of hockey that, in the history of anything, that there's no penalty. So, if something's egregious, you call it, but it is a little out of control, especially pass interference. I mean, come on. But we're going off the rails here, but I agree. Yeah.
By the way, that arena has a little special, for me personally. It was 1982, and it was the opening game, Penn State, Maryland. I did Lenny Bias's first game. So, So I'm glad you brought that up, because it may have reminded me of that. All right, so this week, Cincinnati.
I still have my Baltimore Skipjacks hoodie that I bought that night, actually.
All right. Still fit.
Yeah. I still have the jersey.
There you go. That's great. One thing I said about watching Cincinnati last week against Cleveland, I said, you know what? I look at Joe Burrow, and you know what he does? For the first time in a while, he gives Cincinnati a fighting chance. So what do you think of Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think that when they surround him with a good supporting cast, he's going to be trouble. I really like his game. I like his poise. It's funny. We were kind of, we watched that game, and my mom's family's all from Cleveland, so all my cousins and uncles, they're all and aunts, they're all Browns fans, hardcore, big time, Browns fans. And I used to go to games. I used to go to Indians games at the Mistake on the Lake back in the day. But there'd be like 8,000 people in there. In a place that seated 110,000. But anyway, so I always always try to watch the Browns, and I was really impressed with just the way he carried himself for a kid in his second start. And he ran around when it was the right time to run around. He stood in the pocket. He obviously hasn't gotten great protection. They haven't run the ball well with Mixon. I don't think their O-line's very good. So they're not a great team, but he's going to be trouble for this league. And that's something that kind of he kind of looked like Carson used to, just the way he was using his legs, not necessarily to gain yards, but to get out of trouble and, just kind of have a moving pocket and throw on the run. There's some good young quarterbacks in this league, and he's definitely up there.
I agree. All right, I do have to ask you this again. We're going to go on a tangent for a moment. What's the one game in the old Cleveland Municipal Stadium where it was really cold, and you hung in there to the fourth quarter, even though it wasn't a great game? Do you remember it?
It was the playoff game. I had frostbite on my toes. I was in Anthony Griggs' locker. He was bringing me like warm washcloths and stuff to like put on my feet. It was playoff game in like 88 or 89. I can't remember. Were they playing the Broncos maybe? I don't know. That was a long time ago. I can't remember. I can't remember last week.
Yeah,
no, I remember going to an Indians game against the White Sox with my uncle, and Dick Allen went 4 for 4. Hit four line drive singles up the middle. He just like stood there and hit the ball up the middle. It was a beautiful thing. I think Wilbur Wood pitched that day. Believe it or not.
Wilbur Wood out of Lexington, Massachusetts. Knuckleballer, 120, lost 20, pitched both ends of double headers. right?
Yes.
So then my Dick Allen, Roger Maret, Rogelio Maret, throws a one-hitter against the White Sox. I'm at Fenway Park with my grandfather, sitting third base side. The only hit was in the seventh inning, an infield hit by Dick Allen.
Really?
Was it
a close play at first?
It was Doug Griffin cut it off behind the bag through, and it wasn't one of those, like today, would you review it? No. It was like, bummer.
Moret was nasty. I always liked Rogelio Moret. That dude had some nasty stuff.
Yeah, he did have some nasty stuff. He did, really do. He had nasty stuff that day. In fact, Jim Rice had his first major league hit in that same game. Okay.
Good stuff.
See, we're having fun here. Now, one last part, Ruben, and that's this. All right, the Eagles win Sunday if?
If Carson doesn't make mental mistakes, they win the game. This is a game that they can control both lines of scrimmage. I think the Eagles' D-line against that O-line is a good matchup for them. And I think the O-line, even with the injuries, is a good matchup for a Cincinnati front that I think is – adequate, but not great. So I really think if Carson just manages the game, doesn't turn the ball over, he's got five turnovers in two games.
Yeah.
So if he protects the ball, distributes it, and plays smart, and doesn't make mistakes, doesn't shoot himself in the foot, they win the game. If he does, they lose the game.
Well, I hope you had as much fun on this as I did. I thank you so much for your time today because you made this half hour a lot of fun for the host.
Anytime. I got Red Sox stories. My brother used to be a season ticket holder. I got Red Sox stories
really?
For hours. So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
he lives
man.
up in Arlington up there. So, yeah.
Arlington.
Arlington. He and my dad's from Maine. He's from Portland. So I'm a New Englander. When the Sox were in the World Series, he called me. Somebody had tickets for I think it was Game 3. And he called me the night before and said, "Can you be in Boston at 3 o'clock? By 3 o'clock tomorrow, whatever it was." I jumped on like a 6 a.m. Excel and went to a World Series game on zero notice. What a thrill that was! And I love Fenway's the best. I just love that place.
It's the greatest. 2004 World Series. Yeah, 2004 World Series. All right, so game two. Friend of mine, a week before, Red Sox are down 2-0 to the Yankees. Friend of mine says, "Hey, look, I can get us 2 tickets to a World Series game. Which will it be?" I said, "Look, I've got a football game I have to broadcast with Penn State, Iowa next Saturday. So game two is really the only game I can go to." He goes, "You're in." I'm like, "Well, I got to win first." They go out that night, lose to the Yankees 19-8. They're now down 3-0. Okay, great. They win the next 4 games. So the game I do on that Saturday is Penn State, Iowa. Iowa wins the game 6-4. Get in the car with my buddy. We drive up to Fenway on that Sunday. And it's Curt Schilling pitching in the second Bloody Sock game.
Yeah.
I get there, and it's cold. It's 47 degrees, Ruben. So I've got layers on. And the last layer I have is this Penn State jacket. I know you're surprised by that. And we sit down. We're 5 rows off the field of the pesky pole. And the usher is wiping off the moisture on the seat. And he looks up. He looks at my jacket and says, 6-4. I'm like, "God, that game was awful." I'm like, "What?" He says, "That game was terrible." I said, and the guy I'm with says, "Imagine announcing it." He says, "Who did that?" I said, "He did." He says, "I'm so sorry." I said, "Don't be. I got paid." So, yes. The Red Sox won 6-2 that night. Thank you.
I thought you were going to say it was 6-4.
Yeah, I know. They almost outscored them. It was 6-2. Ruben, thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate it very much. Can't wait to talk to you again.
You got it. Anytime.